John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
Do you know, if you've ever lived in a small town or lived in a small city, you'd know when that city or town cops a blow, it's almost a personal matter. It's like the smaller number in the population take it very, very personally, and it can be a significant wound, if you like, psychologically. Imagine the people in Mount Isa today. Mount Isa's got a population of 21,000 people. Here in Cairns, we're talking 160-plus, but they've just got 21,000 people. They've been going for, it's a centenary year, 100 years, 1923 it was founded, and it's all been about mining. And this announcement yesterday of a very, very big, significant mine closing down is just going to really impact on people's psyches, I would imagine, today. It says in the Courier-Mail, the state's iconic copper mines are set to shut down within 2 years, leaving the economy of Mount Isa and more than 1,000 jobs in limbo. Mining giant Glencore have announced the decision to shut the 60-year-old underground copper operation by mid-2025. The mines are the backbone of Mount Isa's industry, with 1,200 jobs now on the line in a town where 17% of the working population are involved in copper ore mining. Anyway, Glencore's committed to making workers redundant only as a last resort, with redeployment and retraining the focus. The Queensland government's already unveiled a $50 million support package split into two sections to help the town transmission. Now, I won't go on with the details of this because there'll be a gentleman very much with his finger on the pulse, firstly, of the impact it's going to have on people financially. Do they have to start thinking about leaving town? And this is a town where they've been bringing up children, et cetera, et cetera. They've got a family home, and the prospect is, well, if we can't get a job, we're going to have to leave town. That's one of the examples. Will people have to think about early retirement? Could there be opportunities to replace the opportunities being lost? The State Member for Traeger, Queensland State Leader, Katter's Australian Party, Robbie Katter's on the line. Morning, Robbie.
Yeah, good morning, John.
What a dreadful bit of news for you and all that population out there. 21,000 people. It's a small, tight community. Tell me how it's been received.
Well, obviously, you know, people locally have still got their heads spinning, going, what the hell is going on? Like, how did you go from all the talk that we've had the last 5 years and to this, to shutting it down? And, mate, look, to be quite honest, John, and this is not me spruiking as a politician, this is just the facts. Everyone's misread this, and mainly the government. They've come out putting up the white flag going, oh, yeah, okay, you want to shut down. What people don't realise, the bigger picture here, and I mean, I guess I could say I've had pretty good relationship with most of the management for the last 10 years, successive managers there. And but you've only got to read the annual report to see how much copper they've recovered that hasn't been that's there ready to be processed. So how much they've got on their books, copper they've got on their books identified for their shareholders, and the price of copper. If they can't make a business out of that, mate, they better have a good hard look at themselves, because there'd be 100 people lined up, miners around the world that would line up to buy that business. And that's the real issue here. Is Glencore, you know, the Queensland government's got to be tough on people that aren't good business owners to have in Queensland. And everyone knows Glencore's a terrible business owner to have anywhere. And they've just said, oh, that's great, Glencore. If you don't want to mine, that's fine. We'll just shut down and come to 1,200 workers. When the conversation should be, you know what, guys? Get stuffed and boot them on the ass on their way out. Because here's what happened in Cloncurry. Glencore have divested themselves of all their base metal mines in Australia. This is the last one standing, the last operation, if you throw MacArthur River, which they're all sort of run together. And they're just waiting for someone to buy it. And in the process, they've said, well, you know what? We couldn't really be asked with its low-grade copper. Let's just shut it down. And that's pretty, and, you know, throwing that, like you say, throwing the whole city into turmoil. But the response from government should be, hey, you don't get to do that in Queensland. Like, if you're not going to reinvest, we'll find someone else who is, and let's start making life hard for you at the environmental authorities or our, you know, whatever laws we've got. We'll look at changing legislation to hit you guys. And start playing. That should be the conversation. They've come out just saying, oh, here's some compensation. And here's one more story, John. The Ernest Henry mine, there'd be a lot of Cairns people from that region involved, and it's a big mine that was owned by Glencore for many years. They said, look, there's only a few years left in this, we'll sell it. It's no good. Just like they're saying now, So Evolution come in and say, well, actually, and Evolution Mining are a much smaller company with much smaller inability, much less ability to raise capital and do big things than Glencore. But they said, hang on, this is a pretty good mine. Let's have a look at this. They go and raise whatever it is, $1 billion, and add another 17 years mine life within 18 months of owning it.
Wow.
And that's just they're just a normal, competent mine. They're nothing special. And that's just showing you the contrast of having a Glencore-owned mine versus a normal mining company. The problem here is Glencore, and for some unknown reason, the government is not identifying that and just raising the red flag and saying, oh, well, I guess that's life. No, this is where you got to stand up and bloody say, hang on, fellas, if you and I want to be part of our vision for the Northwest, so they've just committed $5 billion of copper string to build more mining out here. If your main operator out here isn't playing by, you're playing the game and saying, well, look, we don't really want to invest there. We couldn't be asked. Well, you know what? Make life hard for them and let's find someone else that will mine it. And they can sell the mine to someone else. And that's what should be happening here. So we shouldn't really be talking too much about losses and everything because there's a good viable project here. Mm. That's the real issue.
What about pressure from shareholders who would have read these details and they would have thought, surely we need a study of what's going on here to see if there are better options? Why haven't they been screaming from the rooftops?
Because you got the likes of the Treasury out here yesterday saying, oh, this is all endorsing what they're saying. You need more people like me calling it out for what it is.
Mm.
And, I'm sure there will be a lot of shareholders going, well, hang on, you guys were just in the global media saying the bright future of copper, and you've got a copper mine here that has got all these reserves on your annual report, but you're shutting that down. Hang on, what are you doing? And they would say, well, it's not profitable, which is probably a true statement, John. It's not viable for them because if you're not willing to reinvest and make long-term plans, so you might have to invest in this conveyor belt or those upgrades there and risk some capital to do it. If they're not willing to do it, of course it's not viable. That's a business 101. But if you like in Ernest Henry mine or down at Cobar, where they sold Cobar as well, their only other mine in the country, people pick it up and go, well, shit, they just weren't having a go here. Let's put some more investment into it. And so that's the issue, and that's the challenge for us moving forward. The challenge is not let's throw the towel in and just start giving people compensation. That's what you do after the game's all finished.
So there is an opportunity, or is there not, for example, another company to buy this particular company out and give some security to the workers there into the future?
It's a huge opportunity. Well, I shouldn't say huge opportunity. It's a very real opportunity. For 2 years, they've been trying to sell this mine and made no secret about it. And they may as well put a big bloody for sale sign up yesterday instead of going through this charade and say you don't want it. And it's the government's job at that point to say, well, hang on, give them a kick in the ass as they throw them out the door, you know? You need to have insight, you need to interact with these people and have that knowledge. And unfortunately, there's not enough people have that knowledge and have had that interaction to be able to call them out. So I'm doing that now with you, and I was doing as much as I could yesterday.
But
it's unfortunate we don't. Where we had the mine minister and the treasurer out here yesterday, and I said they had the same conversation with them, but they refused to step up to the plate either. So, and I'm sure they're no friends of Glencore, but so it should have been easy for them to call them out yesterday. And you don't need to make many phone calls to get the other side of the story from people in mining that know this stuff. So, mate, it's disappointing, but the well and truly the game's not over yet. And North Queensland, again, this is why we need the strong voices up here because, we're just an afterthought. They fly up from Brisbane and say, oh, we'll shut down tourism, we'll shut down sugarcane industry, let's just give in a compensation payout, we'll shut down the gold fishing in Corumba, let's just shut down these towns, we'll give you compensation back at the end of it. And we've got a bloody shout from the rooftops, mate, it'll continue to happen.
Have you had anyone contact you after what you said yesterday, for example, about the other side of this this particular debate, or do you expect people to support you verbally or with ideas or with an offer?
Well, I have. I've had people in people in the mining industry ringing up saying, we're interested here. Even again this morning, you're talking to mining companies, mining people saying, yeah, look, we're, and I'm not in mining, mate. I'm not a bloody broker or anything. I'm just the politician Johnny on the spot with that happens to have a lot of insight into these operations because I live here. But, and, you know, your personal friends with people that work there over the last 20 years, you know, you get a bit of insight. So, but there's definitely interest, John. If you're inside mining, you know that it seems as though the government were the only ones that weren't up to speed with this yesterday when they came out sort of responding to it. So,
yes.
So it was misrepresented, I think, insofar as Glencore have definitely indicated they're selling. Yes, they're not making good money off that mine, but that's because they're the wrong owner. You don't want someone that doesn't. They're a global trading commodity, commodity traders. That's their specialty. They're not miners, never have been. They buy mines and they, you know, they can help them control the price of, is it they're one of the biggest zinc producers in the world, if not the biggest. So it helps them control the, they can control the commodities globally. You don't want them miners, mate. And they've just proven that every time, like with Ernest Henry, like I said, in Cloncurry, they sell it and so they immediately bang 17 years onto it. So, and that's from a small junior miner. So I say it again, look at their annual report, what they're reporting their reserves are there. And you add the current copper price that, any layperson in the any person in the mining industry would interpret that as that is a pretty badly run operation if they're shutting that down. So there's always a story behind the story.
Well, exactly. I'm so pleased I rang you about this. This is a totally different, an alternative narrative altogether. Most people, I don't think, would have suspected this was the case. So I'm really pleased we've had this discussion this morning.
Well, if I was making this up or spruiking, I'd be making a pretty big fool of myself in the long run because it's a big call to make and the stakes are high. But I'm only doing this because I've got the confidence from talking to a lot, not one or two, like a lot of people that have endorsed that same position who've been in the engine room before. So they've, they know that stuff intimately. So
Amazing. What an eye-opener. Really appreciate this, Robbie. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, John.
Robbie Catter. He's the state member for the seat of Traeger, Queensland state leader, Catter's Australian Party, or KAP, Robbie Catter.